Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. It is March 21st, 2019. Mr. Rob Center is the fabulous producer we ever had. We appreciate him on the other side of the glass. Mr. Matt Cotrillo is clackety-clacking away over in the newsroom. I am Mark Lawrence, strikingly handsome, subpar host of the show, and our superlative co-host is over there, too. So welcome aboard.
Boy, I really get the short shrift today.
Well, you
good old watchies names over there.
Mr. Joe McGranum, need I get the whole resume out? Do you want me to get the resume out?
Well, you mess it up half the time anyway. You skip things, add things.
I'll do it right.
No, no, forget it.
No, I'm going to do it
right. No, forget it. We have much bigger fish to fry.
I have it over here somewhere.
Let's fry a fish.
Oh, my gosh. Where's the resume when you need it?
Don't worry about it.
All right, here we go. Mayor of Sham Dam. Right?
Right.
Pennsylvania Bar Association Judicial Review Committee?
Yes.
CSVT Task Force Chair?
Yes.
Broadcaster Hall of Fame member for the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters?
Yes.
A veteran former administrative chair of the Pennsylvania Emergency Communications Committee?
Right. Yeah, I think you're boring the audience, but...
Executive Board of the State Mayors Association?
Right.
Papa?
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
Yeah, retired president and COO of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
Right.
Got that one.
Worked in radio for over 60 years, so just...
Still doing it.
Right. Hard to believe. Just can't give it up.
I'll probably die in here, and you'll have to carry me out. What an inconvenience that will be
My
for you.
My pleasure. Wait, that
I'm sure it would be.
That didn't come out right.
Well, it was least honest.
It would be helpful to be helpful, that's all. It would be nice to be helpful, but I don't want it to happen for a long, long time.
I can see you tell my wife, Joe dropped dead up here. It was my pleasure to help him do that.
Yeah, I was the one that pushed him over the edge. Are you going to retire from radio at some point? Did you ever think that, okay, now I'm going to...
You throw me out of here, I'll retire.
Oh, when we say so, you're stuck, brother. Nobody gets asked to retire or fired or let go or moved along in any way here.
Well, where else could I come and spar mentally with someone of your intellectual capacity on a daily basis?
There's quite a few conservatives that can sit there that irritate me. Anybody can do it. All right. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We'd love to know your thoughts on the important topics of the day. We have 5 emails pending, so we can look at some of those. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you can text us at 70236. That's our sort of our own emergency notification system where we let you know that there is something going on news-wise you should know about, and that would be something that would be a breaking national story or a breaking local story, a closed roads, tornadic weather, and just go to wkok.com and sign up for text. We send you a text message with a little quick link that says that the story is there. If it's something you think would impact you, then you can click on the link. If it's something you don't care about, then you don't have to click on the link. If you don't care about dead celebrities or closed roads or tornadic weather or breaking local news or national news, then you're good to go. You do not have to click on that.
Sounds somewhat petulant there. If you don't care what we do, we don't care. You should probably be a little more positive in the sell of this thing. This is important stuff that we send out.
If it's not a story that has significant impact on your life, you do not need to click on the logo or the link. But if it's something that will impact your life...
I always do, because I figure you thought it was important enough to send it to me, so I read it.
You just like to crash. We have so many Text Connect members that crashes our website all the time now. So.
Oh, does it? Oh, great.
Yeah, so they're upgrading that.
That's good news. See, that's good news.
Right,
people must be believing you when you say you don't sell the list.
Oh.
And it's up to 3 peanut butter pies. pies now at Mulford's.
Three peanut butter pies. All on the same day?
Tudor House pie, yeah.
Spread out.
I'll spread them out. Either, any way you want them delivered.
One a month?
One a month for 3 months? Fine.
This is not a negotiation. This is just curiosity.
Okay.
All right. So welcome aboard, Mr. Joe. When we last spoke, we talked about the Electoral College. Two individuals after the show sent us notes.
Well, we were aware of this one, but each state gets the same number of electoral votes as it has members of Congress. There's a total of 538 votes in the Electoral College, and a candidate must win a simple majority, 270 of those votes, to win the election. Pennsylvania has 20 electoral votes.
All right.
And another writer says, in 1992, Bill Clinton got 43% of the popular vote, but 70% of the electoral votes. So the system essentially preserves federalism and requires a candidate to win simultaneous elections across 50 states. It prevents micro-candidates from getting elected with only 10% of the vote. For example, in Pennsylvania, Trump won 56 counties. Clinton won only 11, but Trump won by only 44,000 votes. Shouldn't this mean something? Do we want metropolitan areas telling rural areas how to live their lives? That's from Duffy, and it's a great deal of common sense. Duffy's right on the mark.
All right. Well, I like one vote, one person. One person, one vote.
You got it. That's you just don't realize it.
No, you have a cockamamie formula.
No, you do not.
All right.
Oh, you are so frustrating on this issue.
All right, one of our local conservative listeners, who is one of the most common sense men in the world.
But he's not a local listener. He's from Texas.
Well, he's from around here, but he happens to be down in Texas right at the moment. Sent us a note. This is before President Trump. What's the topic of this?
The topic of this is some of the
slamming Kelly and his husband.
Right.
Well, the president was on a rare form yesterday. Three interesting changes in his behavior were wonderful. One, he brought up, not the media, but he brought up John McCain again yesterday and, you know, said what a bad man he was in his view.
And the family never thanked him for the funeral.
Right. He brought that. I don't want to be thanked, but they never did.
But they never did. But right.
What further evidence of a true narcissist do you need? I don't want to be thanked, but nobody
ever
did.
It would be nice if they did.
Right. So that was the one thing. Of
if
course,
you didn't want to be thanked, don't bring it up.
He went off on Kellyanne. And then he went to Ohio on a campaign stop and explained how he cares deeply about the people in the Midwest who are inundated by flooding. So rather than visit them, which is well within
his
purview.
Well, he has done that. He has visited.
He hasn't been out there.
He's visited all the disaster areas.
Other disaster areas
that have occurred.
Okay. Well, good for him.
But typically, he does not go while emergency personnel are being involved. Most presidents don't.
Working.
They wait a couple of days until things calm down, then they go look at the damage.
Right. Well, Nebraska, their flooding has subsided. He could go visit there. I just thought it was strange that he thought, I'm coming almost to the Midwest to talk about how deeply I care about the people in the Midwest at a campaign stop. Right. I just thought it was ironic.
Well, Larry G. brings up an interesting point. He says, the reason for sending the item below, this type of action by the leader of our great nation, and that's insulting Kellyanne Conway's husband, causes me to have real problems with Trump. In my opinion, a person with any Christian upbringing would not discuss any employee's spouse in public, no matter how much they dislike the individual. I am angered to think that our president cannot see the harm he is doing when he speaks so irrationally. This country needs for him to toss his ego and make moves that will unify this nation toward dealing with the evils that are ruining this country. And that's from Larry G. in Texas. And what's interesting about that is that Kellyanne Conway is sticking up for the president, not her husband.
Well, and I don't blame her, because she is really glued to him, and she fully supports him in every way, including all of his narcissistic, irrational, buffoon-like behaviors. But that's
Her husband or President Trump?
I'm sorry to say, I don't actually know too much about Mr. Conway.
He's an attorney.
Right, and all the things that he does, whatever that happens to be, I'm not familiar with
Dale
that.
Dale would be happy to tell you about attorneys.
Oh, okay. Well, attorneys are good people.
Right.
I would like some evidence.
This is from the GOP Insider Brief. Kellyanne Conway's spouse is a husband from hell, President Donald Trump declared yesterday, escalating his awkward public fight involving the marriage of a top aide. Trump's feud with George Conway has played out with ever more heated rhetoric on social media. Conway was questioned Trump's mental health, fired back after Trump's latest tweet saying the president seems determined to prove my point.
All right, so her husband feels that way, but he's a private citizen. He has no official role, right? So he's just a private citizen who happens to be criticizing
our president. Well, as Kellyanne said, what would you think if someone who has no mental health degree called you insane or, said you needed mental health? Would you take it or would you fight back?
Okay.
Well,
the president's fighting back.
Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, I mean, he always fights back. I mean, my problem with President Trump is my wife always used to say to me, pick the battlefield you die on. And I always thought that was good advice. You know, but you cannot address every insult, every little thing that happens to you, someone says negatively about you when you're the president of the United States. Some of it you just have to be bigger than and let it roll off your back.
Well,
this president is incapable of doing that.
Has he no dignity? I mean,
Well, that's, I think, established already. We'll agree on that.
The president of the United States? You're supposed to be the leader of the free world. Well, I think Kelly Conway's husband is a worm. That's what I think.
No,
he says, terrible man.
He's a stone-cold loser and husband from hell. That's what he said.
Well.
A stone-cold loser. That's pretty bad. I'm surprised he didn't add sad to the end of it.
Well, and I on NBC last night, the president is becoming further unhinged. I thought, you're never going to be able to argue that you're unbiased.
I don't think he's unhinged. I think he's just... Well, he's obviously a narcissist. I mean, I don't think you can argue that point.
Right.
He
cannot help himself. You know,
right.
Hey.
He has no impulse control
either. If you look
up
in the, the DM5, the diagnostic book for mental health disorders, narcissistic personality disorder is a mental health disorder. So, we have elected, most people in the country wanted our president to be a individual who has a mental illness. or they wanted the president to, wanted the president to be Trump, and now they all, of course, knew he had irrational behavior. Turns out he has a mental illness. So should we not afford for our president the same understanding, caution, care, and consideration and respect that we give to anybody that has a persistent and serious mental illness?
Well, let's backtrack just a bit. I don't know that I would call it a mental illness. I would call it a personality tendency rather than a mental illness, because I know a lot of people who are very much like that, and I don't believe they're mentally ill. They cannot take any perceived criticism or insult without firing back.
So it's just a behavior characteristic.
To me, it is.
Illness wouldn't be the right word.
Well, I mean, I guess you could carry it to some ultimate extreme where it was a mental illness, but I think in this case it's a personality trait. And whether he developed it from being insecure as a child, whether he had mummy issues or daddy issues, I don't know. But it's rather unbecoming for a man who is president of the United States to exhibit this kind of behavior publicly on a daily basis. And I say that while I support the policy decisions he's made, the appointments he's made, you know, largely, some of them I don't agree with. But, I mean, I think if I were to say job performance, I'd give him an 80. If I would say human being performance, I'd give him a 10. And, you know, he doesn't have to do this. I wouldn't know George Conway from a hole in the ground, and the fact that he thinks the president's insane wouldn't matter to me until the president fires back at him, and then I find out it's his top aide's wife or husband.
And look at John McCain. There's an individual who, please take this respectfully, doesn't really matter at all right now. He's not the spouse of anybody. He's nobody. I mean, he's a fabulous world hero, or war hero, and we were super well served by his smart leadership when he was in office. But at this point, he's a non-entity in government. He doesn't have has no ongoing legacy that continues to control things.
But I think he does have a legacy that he leaves behind, and
has a
ongoing
legacy. Well, yeah, that's not the right word. But his legacy does not involve controlling anything or deciding anything. He just continues to irritate the president when the president thinks about him.
Well, I think because this came out that apparently his aide, who probably would not have done it without his sanction, put the Steele dossier out there and caused the president some problems.
To the media.
Right. And I think, you know, it's obvious that President Trump doesn't like John McCain, and I don't think John McCain liked President Trump. However, I would tend to think that the grave would end most disputes like this, but apparently it hasn't.
Not if you have a personality disorder. So we have a president with a mental health disorder, and
I don't think it's a mental health disorder. I think it is a personality trait disorder.
I'm not asking you. I'm just saying that
I'm offering you my studied opinion.
All right. Dan, thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. When President Trump, before he was even elected, he was jumped on by every media organization, and people hated him before he was even put in office. You know, if he fights back a little, I don't have a problem with that. the way he's been treated, no respect whatsoever. Before he was even in office, he was not respected. Not respected to this day. As I said yesterday, the only people that understand Trump is the voters out here, who we still know he's trying to do a great job for America. That's why we put him in office. And we don't care what you liberal pundits say about Trump. You can call him an idiot. We know who the idiots are in this country. And I get sick and tired of people calling Trump mentally unstable when he's a stable genius. He's ahead of the news press 10 steps, but they still jump on him every day and call him mentally unstable, which is very unfair. And when he fights back, I'm on his side.
So you support his attack of a dead man?
Listen, McCain never supported Trump. McCain was against Trump from the word get-go.
But is that a reason to attack a man?
Yeah, now that he's dead, we're just going to keep piling on.
Pounding. I mean, I'm not, you said about liberals doing this. I'm not a liberal. I'm a conservative. And while I agree with his policy, I find him a very offensive human being.
I think you need to wake up and smell the coffee, Dan. Trump does it different than I would, than you would. But I'm not against the way he does it. I wouldn't say a word about McCain, but let's face it, McCain never did anything for Trump. He was for this witch hunt. He was for the witch hunt. He wanted to get Trump, and he said he was against Obamacare all these years. McCain said he's sick and tired of Obamacare. It's a socialist program. But when he had the chance to change the country about Obamacare, what did he do? He voted against it, mainly because he hated Trump.
Well, I think you could also add to that equation the fact that the man had an inoperable brain tumor that was very aggressive. And there is no doubt in my mind, because I had a relative and a friend who died with that condition, and I know it changes your personality. It doesn't mean you're evil or despicable or anything. It just means that your whole mind has changed as a result of this tumor.
Right, and I could probably agree with that, but it doesn't change what happened. All these Republican people were against Obamacare. When they had the chance to vote it down, what did they do? They didn't stick with the president because of they dislike him that much. That anything he thinks he needs good, they're going to go against him. And that's why he fights. He's the first president that fights back. And he took on the press. He took on the Republican Party that was against him. He took on everybody. But he knows he has the base out there, and he's more popular now than he's been since he's been elected. His numbers are up, even by the CNN poll. Right now, he's more popular than ever. So, it's like I said, it's the people, the base, that put him in office. They're still with him, and he gained a few people along the way. Because, like you said, Joe, you may not like the person, but you like the policies he's putting forward. And that's the one main reason voters like me voted for Trump. We didn't necessarily love him as a person.
I hope
not. We voted for him because he could get her done. He's getting the job done. And if he only had some people with him, he could get it this country would be humming even better than it is. But he goes to work every day, and there's no one with him. He's there basically alone.
All right, we got you.
I would think there'd be a reason for that, Dan. Most people are afraid he's going to insult them or belittle them when he gets an opportunity, or he does something they do something he doesn't like. I thought it was interesting when the Secretary of State was asked how long he was going to stay around. He said, "Well, I'll be here until I'm tweeted out of office."
Well, but this president runs a different situation. Whoever was elected before, it wasn't working all that good, and people were complaining. I hear Republicans and Democrats complain for years. Now we have a chance to do something about it. We can get rid of the swamp in Washington, but no one's willing to do it.
Well, Dan, there's a difference between being the boss and a leader. I would say Donald Trump certainly gives pretty good evidence he's the boss, but he's not a leader.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan. Really, really appreciate the call. Thank you so much for checking in.
You guys have a great day. I really enjoyed talking about President Trump.
We can tell.
You guys.
That's good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. One of our good listeners sends us a text with the definition of narcissism and says, if Trump was not famous and did the repulsive things he did to women and other people, this guy would not be defending him. Dan's the epitome of the Trump supporter. So we appreciate that text.
We have another one, too.
Other texts, another email. So we're going to get to those. We got to take a quickie break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan along with Mark Lawrence, 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number brought to you by the good folks at the Hometown Pharmacies. Our entire program brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. And we have some texts.
All right. You know where to start.
I do. One says, who is this Dan guy? He is unhinged. Trump is absolutely unstable. McCain was a hero. They don't stick with the president because the Republican program is deeply flawed and unpopular with the general public. Sorry, guys. I'm a liberal in a deeply conservative area. It's a difficult thing to be. I have to speak up when I see injustice. Thank God for the First Amendment.
Appreciate that. Email.
All right. It says, good morning. The other day on The View, John McCain's daughter said she had a loving father who spent time with his children on the weekends. She was sorry for the Trump's children that he is not spending his weekends with them. Being on Twitter, putting down real military service members, heroes, like my father, John McCain, who just died 6 months ago. Mr. Trump. Thanks. Signed, Bob.
Right, that's a transcription, I guess, probably from The View or...
Yes, I would think so.
Tweets or something along that line.
Yeah, and along those lines. But, you know, as my brother-in-law always says, and other people do, it is what it is. We've got him.
Why does your brother-in-law say that?
Well, I think he's a fatalist.
Ah, nothing can be changed.
But, you know, you look at President Trump, and he's not going to modify his behavior. I heard an analysis on one of the Talking Head programs yesterday or this morning, I don't remember which, that said he has been told to get back to the thing that got him the Republican nomination in the first place, being the combative, you know, outsider fighting against almost everything, against all the odds.
Name-calling Democratic opponents.
Yes.
People responded, you know, when you would call, like Jeb Bush, what do you call him, milquetoast or something?
Well,
boring.
And Sleepy Bob Casey and Little Hands Marco Rubio. And
so on and so forth.
Right.
Okay.
And what does he call Pocahontas?
Oh, well, that's ongoing, Elizabeth Warren. Well, I'm... sorry to say, name-calling is terrible, but if you have a name-caller like that, and then you say you're Native American, and it seems as though you're barely Native American, then you bring it on yourself.
Well, you know, you have to look at what's out there to oppose him. I love Joe Biden. He goes on TV and says, well, I have more liberal credentials than anybody running for president. Oh, I mean, anybody who might run for president. Obviously, he's planning on sticking his nose into the tent, but only if he can raise enough money to do so. So I think he would be a more serious challenger to President Trump because he is among the, what I call, the far-left loonies who are in announced Democratic candidates, people who now want to abolish the Electoral College. They want to lower the voting age to 16. Gillibrand proposed giving Social Security to illegal immigrants. For heaven's sakes, what is wrong with these people?
Gillibrand,
Hildebrand, Millibrand.
Hey.
Whatever kind of brand you want to call her.
I just figured out Buttigieg, so I'm learning. But we'll help each other along through these names.
Oh, we'll make it.
All right. We are talking presidential politics, narcissism, and Mr. Trump himself. So we'll continue that conversation. This is WKOK.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan, the superlative co-host that he is right on the other side of the computer screens here. He's fixing his headphones so he can't hear me. His hearing is shot, but he has them turned up to definitely loud levels.
No, I don't. I do that. Well, I explain why I do that.
Oh, you do not. Your hearings are so loud, I can hear them through my headphones. So, but that's his hearing is shot. And that's a mental illness, and so we try to be respectful of individuals.
We are failing miserably.
Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. On our show, we have a toll-free line. It is 1-800-795-9565. It's the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Lewisburg Pharmacy, toll-free line. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. And those are the businesses that sponsor these, and they're right in the middle of your downtowns. If you are driving along Mount Pleasant Mills area out on Route 35, you need a pharmacy out there. You're not ultra-close to anything, but you're close to the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, located right at the base of Shade Mountain, and it's an opportunity for you to save money, get delivery under certain circumstances, and they got a drug take back there. They sell Hershey bars, and they got it all for you out of the Shade Mountain Pharmacy. Trutz Pharmacy is on Walnut Street, right in beautiful downtown Mifflinburg. Norrie Pharmacy is on Duke Street, 110% accessible on Duke Street because the construction doesn't bar you from driving right up to the Norrie Pharmacy on Route 147 in North Hamilton. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street in Bloomsburg, and she's the head pharmacist. We'd love to help you there right in the downtown. And Lewisburg Pharmacy, centrally located on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. You can stop there, go to Champion Shoes, Fisher's Meats, and then the candy shop, Catherman's, while you run there and visit some wonderful places. Actually, the names of those other local businesses is important because when you support one local business, guess what? They support another one. Go to Champion Shoes. They take that dollar, and they take it up to the Lewisburg Pharmacy and go to Catherman's, and they go over to the Lewisburg Pharmacy, and go to Fisher's, and they go around to the
Lewisburg Pharmacy.
When do we
send it to China?
You have to take it out to Walmart, and they send it for you. You don't have to send it.
I don't have to send it. Okay, good.
You just buy something terrible at Walmart, and they send it to China for you. So that's the Hometown Pharmacy's advantage, and they would just love to super serve you. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com, selling Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks for over 100 years. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We have a text that relates to our conversation about President Trump becoming unhinged, and so we'll talk about that. Actually, not unhinged. That's a derogatory term for individuals with mental illness. We know he has one, a narcissistic personality disorder, so we will no longer treat him like
Are you accepting dissenting opinions, or are you just stating everything as fact? I wish to disassociate myself with the mental illness claim.
All right.
I believe he has a personality disorder.
Oh, okay. Stipulate. Let's stipulate. Let's agree to that. Fine. That's good.
Not a mental illness, but a personality disorder.
Done. People around, this is news headlines now. People around the central Susquehanna Valley continue their remembrances for the victims of last week's New Zealand shooting. About 200 members of the Bucknell community joined the Muslim Student Association in a candlelight vigil on the campus science quad. Kurt Nelson, Bucknell Director of Religious and Spiritual Life, presided over the vigil, which included reflections and prayers from the MSA President Omar El Etor and the MSR member Akmal Osman. MSA members read the names and ages of the 50 victims who were killed in the shootings while candles were lit. The event also included a prayer by the campus rabbi chaplain at Bucknell University. The newly merged Central Susquehanna Regional 911 in Union and Snyder counties will officially be under one roof by the end of April.
It's quite gratifying, not only just physically to get them together, but also the way it's working, that the two former county telecommunications centers are now being cross-trained and working together, and it'll be a much safer system for the citizens of both Union and Snyder County.
Union County Commissioner Joe Mathias made the announcement during a luncheon with the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area, saying renovations at the current Snyder County Communications Center in Sealands Grove will allow them to house both counties there by the end of April 30th. He said that will mean there'll be a 24/7 quadruple dispatch coverage throughout the two counties.
It allows those telecommunicators to specialize a little bit, so there might be somebody that really responds to if the call comes in and it's a fire, as opposed to a medical emergency, as opposed to an auto accident or a police call. Right now, it's mandated that the PSAP have two telecommunicators on all the time. This gets the four of them together.
And the renovations included expanding the building 4,000 square feet. The entire project includes the new 911 center, computer room, new restrooms, break room, locker rooms for employees, and a new parking lot, and improvements to the existing parking lot. The New Zealand government is asking all owners of assault weapons, or now banned attachments, to report them to the government in the next 2 days before turning them in. The Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, said today that the government was immediately banning sales of what New Zealand calls military-style semi-automatic rifles and high-capacity magazines like the weapons used in last Friday's attacks at two Christchurch mosques. She says the cabinet is working on a gun buyback program to be announced later. Ardern says there will be tightly regulated exemptions for some owners, such as hunters and farmers. They plan to spend about $140 million to buy back rifles in New Zealand. And a Louisiana police officer who you would remember we talked about on this show, who was suspended without pay after sharing a racist image on Facebook in 2017, has since become police chief of his small town. And he says he's developing social media policies that would result in the termination for officers who make similar mistakes. Wayne Welsh was assistant chief in Etherwood when he shared a depiction of a white woman pushing a little girl's face in bathwater, supposedly as punishment for having a crush on a black child. In an interview with NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, Welsh says that he's sorry the image caused people to think Etherwood is racist. He insists he's not racist and won't concede the image was racist, calling it a joke. Welsh became Etherwood's police chief last spring, a promotion lamented by civil rights groups. So you can claw back from these accusations and this argument. I wouldn't even call it really an accusation. I'm kind of torn on this because I just think your private life. Now that he's police chief, you know, his private life, that's the end of that. You know, he's got to be police chief 24/7. But when you're just an individual police officer and you share something like that on Facebook, I think it says something negative about you, but I don't think it's reflects on your ability to police. You know, it's like, Joe, do you hate Polish people? Have you ever told a Polish joke? You know, I don't think you should make jokes about that, but he did. How terrible.
Yes, I told Polish jokes. My stepfather at one point was Polish, and we used to kid him.
Yeah, my mother-in-law was
Polish.
But
it was done in good fun. I mean, he told me Irish jokes, too. So, you know, that was back in the time when people could actually laugh at something instead of being offended by it.
What?
Today we go right to offense. We skip,
no,
we skip the humor entirely.
Okay. Do you?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You think you think respect is terrible. So we try not to respect people if we have an
opportunity. Oh, you just told me an Irish joke. You don't respect me.
No, I didn't say that. You know, this is, you have to be sensitive to other people's feelings as you're telling your jokes and so on. My mother-in-law would be more than happy, and she's not sort of a jokester per se, but she'd be more than happy to tell you some good Polish jokes. All right, well, we have a call coming in. We've been talking about President Trump. We still have one, I guess it's two texts that relate to that and his unhingedness. But then on the other hand, we have further confirmation that the news media is, what, out to get him is the phrase?
Yes, Ted Koppel, who is far from a right-wing nut, as you might call him, says the establishment press is out to get Trump. President Trump has been aiming his online invective at a whole lot of targets, including the husband of his White House counselor. It's easy to get distracted when the President of the United States is using phrases like total loser and husband from hell to describe Washington lawyer George Conway, who constantly torches Kellyanne's boss on Twitter. But whether Trump is slamming social media bias, SNL reruns, or fake news, applauding the Brazilian president for using that phrase, he is building the case that those who control the flow of information are consistently unfair to him. Now comes a widely respected veteran journalist who says the president has a point. Ted Koppel was a globe-trotting ABC News correspondent for decades and a master interviewer as the anchor of Nightline. Koppel, now a senior contributor to CBS's Sunday Morning, has left the impression from previous comments that he is not a Trump fan, and yet he felt compelled to declare that the president is right, that the establishment press is out to get him. What's more, Koppel called out two of the country's most influential papers for their coverage of the president, which has left him terribly concerned. At a Carnegie Endowment forum this month, Koppel unloaded on the New York Times and the Washington Post, saying the papers are not what they were 50 years ago.
Well, interesting. There. Well, and I tell you, I watched the NBC Nightly News last night, and the anchor said the president is doubling and redoubling down on his attacks on John McCain. And I just think it was the way that they worded it. I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me. It just made it very clear that they're not in favor of the president, and that was not objective coverage.
Well, one of the other things he said that I think is particularly interesting, he said, we're talking about organizations, here being the New York Times, the Washington Post, that I believe have in fact decided as organizations that Donald J. Trump is bad for the United States. He said, we have things appearing on the front page of the New York Times right now that never would have appeared there 50 years ago. Koppel argued that analysis and commentary didn't creep onto the front pages the way they do in the Trump era. He said, I can remember sitting at the breakfast table with my wife during the campaign after the Access Hollywood tape came out, and the New York Times, and I will still not offend any of you here by using the language, but you know exactly what the words were used, and they were spelled out on the front page of the New York Times. I turned to my wife and I said, the Times is absolutely committed to making sure this guy does not get elected. That's Ted Koppel's opinion.
All right, Joe, start here.
Okay, first, respect is earned, and don't believe President Trump has earned this yet. That being said, how anyone could put up with the constant criticism is beyond me. Constant criticism from the press day after day is beyond me. He should let John McCain be. It's history and over and done with. He may have wronged the president, but it is done. He should focus on his economic accomplishments.
There you go. Bobby, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning. Of course, as you know, a broadcaster in engineering and news and everything over the last 40 years, of course, the roles have changed as far as, it's like Joe said, years ago, you know, people would not take offense on something that you would say. I mean, of course, nowadays we live in a completely different society, but with that in mind, I think the president, when he does, you know, whatever he does, and however he does it, he should keep that in mind of how he does it and what he says.
Well, okay. Yeah, instead of behaving the way that he does. Yeah, good point.
Yes.
Yeah, one of our listeners sent this. I'll see if I can get this to come up. It's, I guess it's the Wikipedia definition of narcissistic personality disorder. It's a personality disorder with a long-term pattern of abnormal behavior characterized by exaggerated feelings of self-importance, excessive need for admiration, and a lack of empathy. Those affected often spend much time thinking about achieving power or success or on their appearance. parents. They often take advantage of the people around them. And the behavior typically begins in early adulthood and occurs across a variety of social situations. Well, that's the president's campaign platform right there. So there's proof. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Yeah,
thanks
but
for
also,
calling.
But also, okay, keep in mind, okay, if you're in politics and you want to get reelected, you basically have to try and please your constituents while you're in office.
Well, yeah, no argument there. He may be trying to please constituents. Well, he makes half the country happy, so that works out. All right, thank you, Bobby. Yeah, good points all. Appreciate that. Mike, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you're welcome. I believe it was Joe that was just talking about the article. They were saying people are accusing Trump of having narcissistic personality disorder. Is that correct?
That's pretty much me saying that. One of our listeners agrees and sent us the textbook definition or Wikipedia definition.
Yeah, and we're hearing that on different media reports and different Democrats are saying it. You know, if you go back to the Obama era, there were a lot of trained psychologists that wrote lengthy articles about Obama having that narcissistic personality, but you never heard that on the news. It wasn't talked about in general. And I just wanted to bring that up before I get to the point I wanted to make.
All right.
And the point I want to make is this. There's a lot of platitudes going out to different Republicans that are willing to stand up and criticize Trump. And I'd just like to go down a short little list of these people. Mitt Romney is one of them. And if you remember when Romney was running for president, the Democrats were saying that, you know, he didn't pay his taxes, he was only for the wealthy, and that he was a member of a church that could be construed as a cult. So that's how they treated him. And John McCain, when he was running for president, I remember being told and hearing, you shouldn't vote for him because, you know, when he was held in captivity in that prison, he was tortured, and that could have done something to his brain where he would be unstable in office. George Bush was commonly referred to as a war criminal and should be put in prison. And Ronald Reagan, God knows we all know what they were saying about Ronald Reagan, that, you know, that he wasn't intelligent, that his wife had to think for him. So, you know, it doesn't matter what Trump does. They're going to come up with some way to bash him. And now, does he put the wrong foot forward? Does he dig his own hole? Yes, I completely agree with that. But on the same hand, I don't believe it really matters what he does. They're gonna come up with whatever they can, find whoever they can to smash him, and that's just the way, the lay of the land, and he has to respond accordingly. And I don't know how that is, but I want to see him reelected.
All right.
Hey, thank you for your comments.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
One of our texters says, please repeat Ted Koppel's comment, a radio test interrupted. So we didn't hear that in here. Right. I guess it's automatic. The computer does that when it's time to run the emergency
right.
broadcast.
Right, it's a monthly test. So. Right, so. And you can thank Joe for that interruption. He devised this system.
I didn't devise it, but I was part of administering it.
Pick it up where the article starts to introduces Ted as the next individual they're going to talk about.
All right, let's see here. Koppel, now a senior contributor to CBS's Sunday Morning, left the impression from previous comments that he's not a Trump fan, and yet he felt compelled to declare that the president is right that the establishment press is out to get him. What's more, Koppel called out two of the country's most influential papers for their coverage of the president, which has left him terribly concerned. At a Carnegie Endowment forum this month, Koppel unloaded on the New York Times and Washington Post, saying the papers are not what they were 50 years ago. He said, we're talking about organizations that I believe have, in fact, decided that Donald J. Trump is bad for the United States. We have things appearing on the front page of the Times right now that would never have appeared 50 years ago. Koppel argued that analysis and commentary did not creep onto the front pages then the way they do now in the Trump era. He added, I remember sitting at the breakfast table with my wife during the campaign after the Access Hollywood tape came out in the New York Times, and I will not offend any of you by using the language, but you know exactly what words were used, and they spelled out on the front page of the New York Times. I turned to my wife and I said, the Times is absolutely committed to making sure this guy does not get elected.
Didn't work. All right. Thank you so much for the texts and emails so far. We're talking about our president who, by definition, has a narcissistic personality disorder. But so what? He's still the president of the United States, leader of the free world, won the Electoral College vote in the U.S., and still has a growing level of support in the country. What do you think about that? 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Stand by, Dale. You're our next person on the radio. We'll be right back.
Hometown Pharmacies. Every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we got texts, emails, calls, even a letter to the editor from the Daily Item. We're going to read that on the radio. So, callers take precedence. That puts Dale at the front of the line. Good morning, Dale. You are on WKOK's On the Mark.
Yeah, I was watching something the other night, and it said 1980, the scientists said that humans only use a very small portion of their brain. But then he came back last week, I think it was, 4 years later, and he said, now that we flatlined. So I was just saying that I just wanted to say, you know, Donald Trump creates havoc, so there must be a lot of money in havoc, right? I mean, everywhere, you got to realize probably Conway's husband and him had something planned. You know, now they're bickering and they're generating money and views. I don't even know how they make money off it, but I'm sure there is a way. But I just wanted to say, you know, the media on both sides are making money off havoc. And if you look, I mean, you just look at big government, the laws they pass, they create havoc. And the states have to fight those laws with the taxpayers' money. And now the states are learning how to play the game. The states are creating havoc. Now the counties and all have to use taxpayers' money to fight those crazy, you know, havoc laws. I mean, if you just look at havoc today, I mean, it used to be the golden age. I think we live in a havoc age. I mean,
well, Conway makes right? money on the president all the time anyway. I mean, he's a commentator, and he has Twitter followers that have ads that are tied to his tweets, so he makes money from that, and he's, I don't know where his commentation appears, but he's sharply critical of the president.
I didn't know what he did. I didn't know what he would do. I mean, I just assume, you know, they're probably good friends on the inside. They're just generating some kind of more havoc to generate money, you know. Because, look, if we had a legitimate president there who probably spoke once every 2 weeks or something like that, okay. What would the news people do? And, you know, it would be no left hand to look at, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But what right now is happening, we need crazy, you know, look at the left hand over here. So we got a character over here as our, you know, watch the left hand. I mean, people got full eyes on them and can't even take their hands off the left hand. So I just wanted to say, when I said flatlined, I hope someone, you know, you can grasp what I was saying there. But yeah, basically, we're probably not even using any percent of our brain today. You can't really realize what's happening.
Noted.
What's happening.
All right.
You know,
all right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
yeah,
Dale. Take care, buddy.
Joseph, next caller on the mark. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'd like to comment on President Trump's victory and what may play out here. Okay. And now I'm going to look at this in a spiritual, prophetic way. I don't know if any of your listeners or you have heard of the book by Jonathan Cahn, The Paradigm. It's a New York Times bestseller. And he also wrote another book called The Harbinger. And what he's doing in his second book, The Paradigm, is comparing the reign of Ahab, Jezebel, and what's called Jehu or Yahu in the scriptures, okay? Now, for people who don't know, Ahab and Jezebel, Ahab was the king of Israel, and Jezebel was his queen, and everybody's heard of Jezebel, a wicked woman.
What does this have to do with the president?
Pardon me?
What's it have to do with the president?
Well, yes, absolutely. And Jehu was the prophet, okay, or king of Israel, okay? He was a new king to take Ahab's place. Anyway, in this paradigm that it's comparing Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Obama and President Trump to these characters in the scriptures. And I'm telling you, when you read that book and then compare it with the scriptures, it's just like an overlay. It's a perfect of what they did, how they acted, or the time that they were in office, each one of them. He compares them, and he has such a history there. It's phenomenal. And if it plays out the way it has so far, with Trump defeating Hillary Clinton, now Ahab was Trump, Jehu, the new king that was to be, was the one that told them to throw Jezebel off the castle walls, and he run over with the chariot and the dogs ate her. Okay, and so to speak, Trump did that in the election. He run over her. But here's the thing that continues to play out this way. All those enemies of Jehu in the scriptures, this new king that Yahweh was putting in place, will die because he took the servants of Baal and he said, if you think Ahab served Baal, you haven't seen anything. I'm really going to serve him. He was just saying that facetiously to get him in the temple of Baal. And then he told his men, you go in, you see that there's none of Yahweh's people there, and then I want you to kill them all.
Wow.
Kill them all. And that's what he did.
So
and
this is, I like the part where,
that's
where they were eaten by the dogs.
Politicians and so forth that went along with Hillary Clinton and the Clinton and Obama reign of killing babies. That's what they did in ancient Israel. They offered Baal their babies to Baal, and they burnt them on the altars. And that's what they do here with abortion. They take the babies and burn them in the incinerators, the hospital. It's the same practice, but it's a little different way it's played out.
And so Joseph, the president, is our savior in this story?
Well, in that story, yes, but he's not a real good guy. If you read it, you can read it right in 1 Kings. Didn't continue to follow after the Almighty. He did for a while, you know, and I'll tell you, Trump and him are identical because he was called a wild man, this Jehu.
Oh.
He drove his chariot and they said he's a wild man. He did things impulsively, that's just the way President Trump is. I mean,
right.
You compare him, and I'm telling you, if anyone hasn't got that book, it's called The Paradigm. You can get it at any Barnes & Noble anywhere, and it is tremendous. I mean, it's just, you won't believe it if you read it, how identical these characters are.
All right. Noted.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joseph. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the President of the United States. Ted Koppel says the media is out to get him, and that's clear from the time that the President, Donald Trump was running up until the time that he became the president. They were out to make sure that he didn't get elected. Of course, they were shocked and appalled when he did get elected, but since then they've been not in his corner ever since.
Feeding politicians to the dogs sounds like an interesting thing to do.
Well, that scripture, yeah, that's interesting. I'll tell you what, that is...
Wouldn't want to lose an election back in those days, would you?
It's not only pathetic, it's prophetic.
One of our writers says, regardless of one's own personal opinion about Trump's irreverence, big media has zero room to talk. They repeatedly, viciously attacked McCain in 2008. Mm. And that's true because today the people on the left who are lionizing him and saying what a great man he was, they weren't saying that when he was running for president.
Well, would you say the president was unfairly against President Nixon?
Which president?
President Nixon.
Was unfairly against whom?
Was the news media? Oh, I said it was the president.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Was the news media? I misstated that. No wonder you can't answer it.
I'm confused. Right.
Would you say the news media was against President Nixon?
I think toward the end they were. I think initially some of them gave him the benefit of the doubt. The Washington Post obviously didn't, but, you know, you have to give Woodward and Bernstein credit for sticking with the story and developing it.
Broadly speaking, was the news media against George H.W. Bush?
I think they were. Not to the point that they're against Donald Trump. But, you know, let's face it, there is a decided left-leaning bias on the part of national media. And it's no offense. Everybody has an opinion one way or the other. It just seems to be that our colleges today are turning out people who lean further left than right, or further left than the center, for that matter. And that tends to be the way this goes. Other people here in flyover country tend to not have those influences to such a great extent and have developed their own opinions, and they differ from those of the so-called elite.
Okay.
In New York City and Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, we have a news media that did the news media endorse President Clinton all along?
Well, I mean, they reported, I think, fairly on things like Whitewater and the Republicans' charges and the investigations that took place there.
So they got coverage.
They got coverage, right. Nobody buried it, you know, certainly when Monica Lewinsky came out. Interestingly enough, I know you don't have HBO, do you?
Mm-hmm.
John Oliver did his show this week. A large part of it was dedicated to shaming that takes place on the Internet, and he had a very extensive interview with Monica Lewinsky. And I thought he brought out, I mean, you know, we tend to make a joke out of her, and he brought up the fact that Jay Leno was just incredibly insensitive to her on a personal level and with the jokes he told on the air. But he talked to her about the effects that shaming had on her life, you know, and what she did. And, you know, you look at Bill Clinton, who was the adult in the room, and he actually contributed to that shaming.
Well, sure.
And so did Hillary. You know, now they're big advocates of, Me Too. But back then, they were calling her things like Looney Tunes and diminishing her story and lying about it. You know, so no one here is without blame. Yes, you could say President Trump is a pretty reprehensible individual, but I submit to you Bill Clinton was in many ways. But yet I think Bill Clinton was a very good president. You know, I didn't agree with everything he did. You know, then on the other hand, you have Barack Obama, who's clean as a hound's tooth. You know, no scandal personally with he and his family. Wonderful people, but not a very effective leader, in my opinion. So,
keep all of that in mind as we go through the presidential election. Of course, President Trump's going to be the Republican nominee. Well,
maybe not.
You think somebody will?
Well, I think as volatile as this situation is, let's say that something comes up in the Mueller report that would preclude him from being able to successfully seek an election. I'm sure there'd be some Republicans who would challenge him.
Okay.
For the nomination.
All right.
Wouldn't be the first time it happened.
1-800-795-9565. It sounds like we are winding down on our President Trump topic. We have some emails that relate to Electoral College, which was a hot topic yesterday, thanks to Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren, who both said this week that it's time to abolish the Electoral College.
Then we're going to pack the Supreme Court, let 16-year-olds vote, and give Social Security to illegal immigrants. Hey, we got a great agenda here, folks.
Wow. Okay. So Joe's picked out some good Fox News talking points. He's ready to go. So we invite your call on those topics or Electoral College. We'll declare this show open right at the moment with no set topics. So give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And our show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Center is here. Matt Cotrillo is here. He left. But we have a couple of emails pending. And we do have no text messages. You can send a text to 70236 if you're a Text Connect member. Sign up at WKOK.com. It costs you nothing. We send you no ads. We don't sell your telephone number to anyone. We just notify you via text when there's an important story just posted at WKOK.com. Joe, you are on the mark, not Joe McGranahan, but Joe from Sunbury is on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you. Good morning, man. I was wondering how the Trump issue and the McCain issue had been, like, the beginning of it. Not the way back, but just at this point. So he was at not a rally, but he went to that tank factory. So it wasn't like an interview with a reporter that asked him something. But I looked up the transcript, and if I can, I'd just... like, it's about 10 minutes in, it looks like, and he's talking about we've bought billions and billions of dollars worth of planes and tanks, so thank you all, great job. The fact is we have the best tanks, and he goes on, best workers, and that's true. And I agree, and it says, a lot of people are asking me because they love me, and they ask me a lot about a man named John McCain. So that's how it started. I didn't know that. And then he says in the next sentence, and if you want, I could tell you about, then hyphen, should I or should I not? And the audience chants yes, or calls out yes for him to tell about John McCain. So the first sentence is that he started this. So I have to be honest, which I think we all think that's good. I have never liked him much. He hasn't been the man for me or something like that. But he goes on for about five... Everybody just mentions like one sentence. But he goes on to mention about back when McCain was a war hawk trying to push George Bush into the Middle East. And he goes on to, you know, different things about McCain's career, and it ends up with the no vote on the... Affordable Care Act, and there's a lot in between there, and they're just saying, I mean, I know I hear this, and this is his speech, and he didn't even have to mention John McCain, I realize that, but it's not like, you know, a lot of the news, or not even news, but the opinion people are making it out to be. There's a lot more to it than, which usually is the case with these opinion people, if you don't like Trump, and it's obvious, and I do agree that Ted Koppel, his realization of what was going on with some of the bigger papers in the U.S. So I didn't really have any questions about that, but I was interested in. So if anybody would want to read it, there's a lot more than he just, you know, he talks about the phony dossier, too, that McCain turned over, which he didn't like.
And where was this article?
This is the transcript of the speech. It's not really an article.
Oh, from yesterday,
so
his
verbatim.
Remarks.
What I read was verbatim. The lead up into the comment, which I didn't know how that happened, and I always like to find out, you know, like, obviously it was his own speech, and I do say that he didn't have to bring it up, but the audience chants yes, which he's done that at other, you know, speeches like that. So I agree that he didn't have to bring it up, but it's not quite like the media is making it out to be. But he did. But I do like the fact, and I've said this before on this show, Trump, when he says things like that, I'm not offended really by it, because I don't like the person who hides their feelings about other people, and they, you know, maybe talk behind their back or whatever. So I do believe a lot of people dislike Trump for his outwardness like that.
He's very assertive in that way. Okay, we got you.
Good point.
Thank you so much.
I asked a question, Mark, about yesterday.
Sure.
So I wrote about the majority rule. So what do you think would happen when the majority rule wins an election? Say the Democrats would win. They get their way and get a majority rule, and they get, instead of the Electoral College...
Talking popular vote.
Right, they get the popular vote. What do you think would happen to the smaller states?
I mean,
that's an issue. I think Joe put it pretty well, and other people. And you have your opinion, which I would like not only for your what would happen right now, but what do you think would happen in the future once a majority gets power, how hard it is to wrest that power from the majority.
Well, I think, let's suppose you just abolish the Electoral College and we let majority rule. I think right. People in Delaware and Wyoming would be one person, one vote. And the people in California and New York would be one person, one vote. So that's what would happen to their vote. They
right,
would be one person and they'd get a full vote.
Because, I mean, people like in the minority, this is what the Founding Fathers just absolutely didn't want to happen, right, is majority rule, is because a minority would never gain a majority again. I mean, I know you kind of, and I do too, like the idea of a third party, and I think Donald Trump's the closest thing we've ever got to a third party. But what would happen once the majority, I'm not talking about this election or 2024 or whatever, like in the, well out into the future, once a majority has a stronghold on power, I mean, what do you do? Like,
in
Venezuela, you have to have an overthrow, or because they're not going to give up power.
Good question. Yep, good question. You'll have to think about that.
The bottom line here is that the Electoral College works very well at preserving our democracy, and it forces candidates.
I think it's genius also, and I agree with Joe and others who have called in. But I would like Mark to explain, because once people and parties get power, it's if you think you live in a democracy, I don't. I live in a representative republic here with a constitution, but once you get majority rule, minorities seem to tend to stay minorities. So keep that in mind.
All right, we got you. Thank you.
I'm with you, Joe.
Thank you.
I agree with you.
Whew. Yeah, I don't know the answer to the question, what would happen decades down the road. But if we kept it that one person had one vote, one person would always have one vote.
One person does have one vote. You just refuse to acknowledge that.
You just have a cockamamie formula to allow that vote to be counted. Bobby, last caller before a quickie break. Go right ahead. You got 60 seconds.
Yes. I agree with, I'm going to say, abolishing the Electoral College, because I think it's an antiquated system in that, and just basically go with the majority, or, you know, either that or maybe have a different number.
All right. Noted, Bobby. You're a smart man. It's clear every time we talk.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you so much. Sunbury Motor Company is our prime sponsor here. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Before you even go to the car lot, you can check out every single vehicle they have, whether it's a pre-owned vehicle or a brand new one. They got the photographs online at sunburymotors.com. You can build a Ford car or truck to your precise specifications online. And that's a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. Maybe you're just going to get your car worked on, where you can make your appointment for the quick lane, get yourself pumped up with nitrogen, and get the vehicle inspected, aligned, and washed. And all of this while you're waiting comfortably. You can pop onto the Wi-Fi while you're waiting at the quick lane, and they'll be working briskly in your favor. You can click on a coupon for the Works Fuel Saver Package at sunburymotors.com. And all of that is just while you're clicking away on your phone or your computer. You haven't even gone down to the company on 4th Street or Route 11 and 15. And boy, wait till you do. You're going to find folks like Mike DeFeo and Austin and Ernie. They're ready to help you and to work for you and to make sure that your dollar lasts a long time and gets stretched as far as possible. Remember those stretching dollars and raise the region? Well, they do that at the Sunbury Motor Company. Check it out, the many specials at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, we're going to start out with an email or a text. Go ahead, Joe.
One says, is Bucknell going to have a vigil for the people killed by the bomb in the Catholic Church in the Philippines? Muslim ISIS claimed honors for that one with a second bomb a few minutes later to kill the first responders. He mentioned this happened over the weekend, but it actually was January.
Right. Well, you'd have to ask the Catholic students on campus. Last night's vigil was sponsored by the Muslim students. They decided to host a vigil, and everybody got involved. Why the campus ministry the Catholic ministry students at Bucknell chose not to have a vigil, that's their thing. But I guarantee you there'd been good attendance if they'd had one.
Another one says, yes, Trump should pack the Supreme Court with with more conservative judges. I think maybe we need 6 more conservative judges. What do you think? The left's hero, Roosevelt, did so. Why not Trump? It would be fun to watch the left whine about such actions. Well, actually, Mr. Roosevelt failed miserably in his attempt to pack the court. His own party was against him. And even Joe Biden, in a speech he gave a few years ago, made it quite clear he thought it was a dumb idea. And then one of our writers says the main distinction of the hypocrisy of the left is that their default position during the Obama administration was that the right did not consider his policies useful merely because they did not like him personally. But they now fail to own up to the fact that that's their own motivation to dismiss the GOP agenda. They simply have projected their own bias on their opponents. The left judges people by the color of their skin while simultaneously accusing the right of that blind spot.
Chris, you're our next caller. On the mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that's not quite true either, is it?
Well, somebody's opinion. But that's not why you called.
Well, the Electoral College, I'm not quite sure why a ruling minority is going to give up its power any easier. And actually, it hasn't made that much difference because there has only been until recently. And I'm not sure why a minority of non-urban people should be able to rule over a larger majority of urban people, if that's really the case, which I don't really think it is. But that's what the other argument. You can't let the majority urban people rule because it'll hurt the rural people, but you can let the rural people hurt more people by ruling over the urban people. That seems kind of...
But that hasn't happened, Chris.
If you really believe that's the case, that seems pretty bad.
That hasn't happened, though, Chris.
What do you mean it hasn't happened?
It hasn't happened. There have only been 4 instances in the history of the Republic.
Oh, so then why not change it to the popular vote?
Because in the overwhelming majority of instances, the popular vote and the Electoral College vote reflect each other.
Right. So why not change it to the popular vote?
Because states right now, candidates have to run in a number of states. They can't just pick 2 or 3. Let me answer your question.
Okay.
They can campaign in New York and California and a few other big states, and that would be it. They'd have no reason to go to Montana, Vermont, or some of the smaller states. And yet those states can contribute to their victory if under the current Electoral College system. And that gives everybody an even playing field.
I don't understand why that's a more even playing field than one people, one vote in the first place. Well,
I just explained that at the outset.
Even,
I explained that at the outset. I explained that at the outset. They would only go to the biggest states where the most people were.
Oh, is that it? Well, but that's not true.
Yes, it is true.
Because where do they go now?
They go to the states where they feel that they have a chance to win. Look at the last election. Hillary Clinton didn't spend it.
That are actually swingable, and the rest of the country gets ignored.
No, it doesn't. Because here's why they don't. Because the media covers those speeches and those events, and everything they say,
everything the candidates say, get put out there. Then?
No, not necessarily.
You mean the media is not going to cover a presidential election?
You keep asking me questions, and then you don't let me answer them.
Where the media centers are?
Can you put him on hold? You keep asking me questions, you won't let me answer. I think
you say something that's not true immediately.
Well, you won't let me answer, and I can show you that I am true, and that you're just trying to keep me from making the point.
Chris,
but now we're out of time.
Chris and Jerry, you're going to have to take this up on Monday morning. Tomorrow we got John Shipman as the co-host, good common sense conservative, and Lanair Allam is coming in from the community college effort, and she's bringing her sister, Lieutenant Colonel, in the reserves. We'll talk about community colleges. This is WKOK Sunbury.